This Eid al-Adha, this Eid al-Adha, this Eid al-Adha, this Eid al-Adha. May Allah's blessings bring happiness, peace and prosperity in your life. Eid Mubarak, Eid Mubarak, Eid Mubarak.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. My dear respected viewers of Madani channel, inshallah azza wa jal, we'll be talking about those accounts which have been mentioned in books of Hujjaj when they went to Hajj. Amazing, beautiful waqiyat, inshallah, accounts we'll be sharing with you today, and immense amounts of knowledge you'll be learning. Dear respected viewers, before we proceed towards the main topic, let's make few good intentions. Sheikh Tariqat Amir of Ahle Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliya, has given us a beautiful mindset that we should make good intentions before we perform any permissible deed or good task. I make this intention that I will present this program for the pleasure of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and you will make this intention, you will listen for the pleasure of Allah, remember what you learn, act upon and pass this knowledge on to others too. Today we've got our brother Wasim Abbas with us. Let's go towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wasim Abbas, how are you doing? You okay?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. How are you?
I'm good, alhamdulillah. Wasim Abbas, today, as I mentioned in introduction, we will be talking about those accounts of Hajj pilgrims. They have been mentioned in the books, our pious predecessors, what was their Hajj and how was their Hajj, mashallah, and what did they experience during that blessed journey. How would you start the very first account? How would you like to start with?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As, alhamdulillah, the topic of our program regarding Hajj pilgrims, what we need to understand first of all before going into the accounts of those Hajj pilgrims is that we need to understand the message that we get through these accounts, that what message actually is within these accounts. So alhamdulillah, as we'll go through, there will be many beautiful lessons that we will be able to derive from these accounts. So a beautiful topic, alhamdulillah. So let's start from the account of the best of the individuals, someone who belonged to the best of the families, who's from the Ahlul Bayt of Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, none other than his grandson Sayyiduna Imam Hassan Mujtaba radiyallahu ta'ala an, that when he radiyallahu an went on Hajj, what was the state of his Hajj, and what do we learn from this beautiful account? So Sayyiduna Imam Hassan Mujtaba radiyallahu ta'ala an, he once said that, I'm deeply ashamed. Alas, how will I meet Allah Almighty? Alas, I have never traveled to the Holy Kaaba on foot.
Allah,
now, Allah. These are the thoughts coming in his mind, and he's expressing what he's thinking to other people, that he's ashamed. Out of humbleness, he's saying that he's ashamed that how would he meet Allah Almighty? I haven't even traveled for Hajj, traveled to the Holy Kaaba on my foot. Now, after saying this, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu traveled to Makkah al-Mukarramah from Madinah al-Munawwara 20 times for Hajj.
Allahu Akbar.
Just to practically act upon this element of humility and practically prove his humility in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, he traveled for Hajj 20 times. And it is further narrated that once Sayyiduna Hassan al-Mujtaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu performed the Tawaf of Kaaba. And after performing Tawaf of Kaabatullah Sharif, he offered two rakat wajib salah of Tawaf near Maqam Ibrahim. And thereafter, he placed his blessed cheek on Maqam Ibrahim and made dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beseechingly, imploringly, in the following manner. He said, O my Lord, your weak bondsman is present in your majestic court. Your beggar is present in your majestic court. Your helpless bondsman is present in your majestic court. These are the words that he radiallahu ta'ala anhu continued to repeat in his supplication. And after a while, Sayyidina Hassan al-Mujtaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he left Masjidul Haram, and on the way he radiallahu ta'ala anhu came across some poor people, some destitute people who were sitting down and they were eating some pieces of bread that were given to them in charity by some other people. Now, as Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu was passing by them, what does he do? He radiallahu ta'ala anhu says salam to them. Now just imagine what is our state. If we come across such people who are less fortunate than us, then ma'adallah we start looking down at them. We're not the first one in saying salam to them, whereas we've been encouraged in a hadith to be the first one in saying salam. The one who says salam first is closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He reaps more blessings and mercies of Allah Almighty. So Sayyidina Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba radiallahu ta'ala, who's the leader of the youth of paradise, who is the actual prince of this world and the hereafter, he radiallahu ta'ala, when he comes across these poor people, he radiallahu ta'ala says salam to them. And then those poor people, what do? They ask Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba radiallahu ta'ala to join them in their meal, to eat with them. And Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may our lives be sacrificed upon him, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu sits down with them on the dining mat without any hesitation. He sits down over there and then he says that if these pieces of bread had not been given to you in charity, then I would have certainly, definitely eaten them. Why? Because sadaqah, charity, is haram for us, is haram upon the offspring of Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So he radiallahu ta'ala anhu also explained a shari'i ruling over here. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu made sure that they don't feel any negativity in their hearts that he radiallahu ta'ala anhu is not consuming, is not eating what they are offering. He sits down with them to please them. And then he radiallahu ta'ala anhu also makes clear to them that why he is not eating it, because that food is from charity. And then when Sayyidina Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu was leaving from there, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu took all those poor people with him to his house and served them all with delicious food, with lavish food. And when they were finished, when they were leaving, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave them presents, gifts and dirhams as well. So this was the Hajj of the leader of this world and the hereafter, the leader of the youth of paradise, the true prince, Sayyidina Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Look at the level of humility, humbleness, how down to earth he is, and how affectionate he is towards these poor people. He is not thinking of his rank, his status, his dignity, the family that he belongs to. He's going and pleasing those poor people. He's humbled in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despite performing Hajj on foot 20 times. And one very important factor is, one way that we need to understand over here is that sometimes to understand something very clearly, we need to go back in time. We need to visualize, picturize the actual scenes over there. So when we talk about Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu traveling from Madinat al-Munawwara to Makkah al-Mukarramah to perform Hajj 20 times on foot, we need to understand that what traveling meant back in those days. Today, it's very easy for us to travel in a couple of hours from one continent to other. We can travel, no problem whatsoever. But back in those days, people used to travel on camels, on horses, and it used to take them months and months to travel from one city to another. A journey of Hajj was very tiring. It contained a lot of physical hardships. And Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba radiallahu anhu, he traveled from Madinat al-Munawwara to Makkah al-Mukarramah to perform Hajj 20 times, not on camels, not on horses, on foot. Just to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and show how humble and subservient to Allah Almighty is.
SubhanAllah. My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, we heard a waqia, an account of grandson of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Imam Hassan Mujtaba radiyallahu ta'ala an. We also heard and derived a few Madani pearls of humbleness, how much down to earth he was. And dear respected viewers, the factor one should understand when you're going to Hajj, you are going in the bargah of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. You're going in the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, house of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. That is the journey. And when you go towards the house of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, one should be down to earth. One should be humble. We learn a lesson from the best seerah of Sayyidina Imam Hassan Mujtaba radiallahu ta'ala, and that whenever we present ourselves in the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, we need to show idz in kisari. And if we find poor people, then again, we should be humble, down to earth, and we should treat them well. Dear respected viewers, I've got a beautiful account which I would like to share with you. Sayyidina Sufyan Sauri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has related, during tawaf, I saw a devotee of Rasul who was reciting Salat upon Nabi meaning durood upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, while walking every step, each step he would take, he would send salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, he says, I asked him, the secret behind salat upon Nabi, instead of reciting La ilaha illallah or Subhanallah, you are not reciting any other dhikr. You just keep on reciting salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. What is the secret behind that? At first, he asked me my name. He then related his story in these words. He said, I, along with my father, went on a Hajj journey. During this journey, my father fell seriously ill. We stayed and my father received some treatment but could not get well, recover. Finally, he passed away. It was ordained by Allah Azza wa Jal. All of a sudden, his face turned dark, eyes slanted, and belly bulged out. Seeing this, I got scared and wept, reciting, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. I covered his face with a shawl. In the same situation, I fell asleep. In my dream, I saw a very handsome, beautiful personality, dressed up extremely neat and clean clothing, with fragrance emanating from him. I had never seen such a handsome personality, nor had I smelled such a pleasant fragrance in my life. That personage came close to my deceased father, removed the shawl, and stroked his luminous hand on the face of my father. Dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, he says, all of a sudden, the darkness of the face of my deceased father turned into luminosity. His eyes and belly also normalized. When the luminous personality was about to leave, I clung to his feet and said, Allah Azza wa Jal has sent you as a mercy for my father in this deserted place. Please do tell me, who are you? The personage said, don't you recognize me? I am the one to whom Quran has been revealed. Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. Your father was a sinner, but he would recite salat upon me in abundance. When he got into this trouble, he pleaded with me and I came to help him. Subhanallah. Indeed, I help those who recite salat abundantly upon me. When I woke up, I saw that my deceased father's face had really become luminous and his belly had also normalized. Subhanallah, subhanallah. My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, did you see the blessings of reciting salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. If we have sinned in our life, and if we want that our sins are removed, if we want that we are blessed in this dunya and the hereafter, we should send salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. What would you say?
Amazing, amazing account where we not only realize the benefits of sending peace and salutations upon the noble prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but at the same time we learn and come to know the authorities that Allah Almighty has blessed His beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam with. That when a sinful person, what does he do? He sends peace and salutations upon the noble Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And when he passes away and in this miserable state that he's facing, who comes to rescue?
Allah,
the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He is the one whose intercession helped him. So, beautiful account where we come to know the importance of sending peace and salutations.
At the same time, we're seeing by the importance of going towards this blessed journey of Hajj also, right? They were going towards Hajj. And on that way, he passed away. Although he was a sinner, but he would recite Salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And reciting Salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam became the means of salvation and blessings for him. Hussein bhai, what other account you've got today to share with the viewers of Madani Channel?
MashaAllah, there are many accounts, alhamdulillah, to go through and to learn from. There's another beautiful account before me where we come to know that when righteous predecessors, they used to go to perform Hajj, when they used to perform Tawaf, what their priorities used to be and what did they used to ask Allah Almighty for. And in the light of this account, we can perhaps ponder upon our state, that when we are blessed with such privilege, what are our priorities? What do we ask for at those sacred lands in Haram-e-Tayyiban? Sayyiduna Qasim ibn Uthman, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he's narrated this account that I saw a man who was making only this dua during tawaf, that, O Allah Almighty, you have fulfilled the needs of all the needy, but my need has not yet been fulfilled. So upon doing tawaf, this is the only dua he was making. Now he said that, I asked him the reason for this strange dua, that why are you making only this dua? Why aren't you asking for anything else? What is that need that you are asking for throughout your tawaf? So he related this story to me in these words. He says that, 7 people, including me, went to fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the enemies, the non-Muslim enemies, they captured us. And when we were brought in the planes to be executed, I lifted my head and saw that there were 7 open doors in the sky with a heavenly maiden standing at each door. So Allah Almighty blessed him to witness, to observe this scene of His Majesty, that those people are about to get martyred, and the reward that they would attain, Allah Almighty enabled him to see that before getting martyred. So he says that I saw those 7 heavenly maidens standing at each door. As soon as a companion of mine was martyred, I saw that the heavenly maiden would descend down the earth with a handkerchief in her hand in order to take the soul of the martyr.
Allah.
Now, 6 of my companions were martyred in this manner, and each time their soul would be taken by the heavenly maiden. Now, 6 of them have been martyred, and he say that now it was my turn. When my turn came, a courtier requested the king to hand me over to him as a servant. And upon this, the king, he accepted his request, and I was deprived of the honor, of the privilege of martyrdom. So I then heard a heavenly maiden say that, O deprived individual, why were you denied this honor? And after this, all 7 doors of the sky were then closed. O my brother, I mourn greatly over my loss. If only I had also been blessed with the honor of martyrdom. This is the request you heard me making during my supplication during tawaf. Now, Sayyidina Qasim ibn Uthman, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he states that, in my opinion, from those 7 fortunate individuals, he is the greatest. He is the most fortunate one. Why? Because he was saved from being killed, from being executed, and was fortunate enough to witness the faith-refreshing scene which others did not see.
Oh.
Then he remained alive and continued to perform virtuous deeds with great passion and enthusiasm. So this account, alhamdulillah, Sayyiduna Qasim ibn Uthman rahmatullahi ta'ala mentioned. Now, what do we learn over here? That pious bondsman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whilst performing tawaf, he's making only one dua. And if you think about that dua contains the bounties of the hereafter. He's not asking for any materialistic things. What is he asking for? Only for the betterment of the hereafter. This is the priority that he had in his mind. He knew this world is temporary. He knew that all the luxuries, bounties of this world, they're not everlasting. They'll come to an end. The everlasting bounties are of the hereafter. So during the most sacred act of worship, performing tawaf of Ka'batullah Sharif, he was only asking for this very dua. And on the other hand, we see Sayyidina Qasim ibn Uthman rahmatullahi ta'ala also considering him to be fortunate. Why? Did he have a lot of bank balance? Did he have so many businesses? Did he have so many servants to serve him? Did he have those palaces? No. Why did he consider him fortunate? Why? Because he was given a longer lifespan. What for? To accumulate wealth? To spread his business in all continents? No. It was because now he was given a longer lifespan so that he can increase his righteous deeds. And he can have his rank and status further elevated in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, he's performing the journey of Hajj. He's performing tawaf of Ka'batullah Sharif, but asking for the goodness of the hereafter. And in the sight of Sayyidina Qasim ibn Uthman, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he's superior. Why? Because he has more chance of performing virtuous and righteous deeds.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. My dear respected viewers, today we are talking about accounts of Hajj pilgrims. Another beautiful waqa is in front of me, an account I would like to relate to you, that performing tawaf in rain, it is regarding that. How wonderful it is to perform tawaf in the rain. Sayyidina Abu Iqal radiallahu ta'ala an has said, I was once privileged to perform tawaf with Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala an in the rain after we offered two rakat salah at the Maqam Ibrahim. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala an said to me, start your deeds anew. Your previous sins have been forgiven indeed. The beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam gave the same good news to us, and we were privileged to perform tawaf in the rain with him. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, what a great blessing it is to perform tawaf in rain. What would you say, Wasim Abbas, by such a beautiful glad tiding given by Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, and who was told by Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Amazing. And
did you get any chance to do that in your life?
Alhamdulillah, once when Allah Almighty blessed me with this blessed journey, I remember it did rain one day, right in the morning, around when the sun was rising, and it started to rain, and many devotees of the Prophet, alhamdulillah.
Did you know this riwayat at that moment in time? Subhanallah.
With the blessings of the Madani environment of Dawat Islami, alhamdulillah, I did come across this account, this narration before traveling, alhamdulillah. And when it rained, many devotees of the Prophet, alhamdulillah, they rushed towards Ka'batullah Sharif, that who knows when this opportunity would be given again to us. So alhamdulillah, it was amazing. And it also makes us realize that how fortunate we are, Rizwan bhai, that all this, whatever we are getting, it is because of the sadaqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Just because we are the followers of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, all these bounties, all these acts of reward are bestowed upon us just for the sake of Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. If you think about it from practical means, it's just going around the Kaaba Sharif. Okay, that's fine. The reward of tawaf is there. But then when it rains, you see, just because Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told us, he said those blessed words, so the reward is there for us. So anything we have, everything we have is just because of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and a beautiful glad tiding. So I hope Allah Almighty takes us all over there and enables us to perform tawaf in rain.
Please, do mention us another account, please.
MashaAllah. Another thing, Rizwan, as we were earlier talking about setting our priorities right, that what mindset shall we go with? And even when performing tawaf, when supplicating in the court of Allah Almighty, what is the most important things that we shall be presenting as a plea in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? At the same time, we also need to set our mindset right and understand that what exactly are we doing, and how fearful shall we also be from the hidden plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't exactly know that what is written in our decree, in our destiny, what awaits us, we never know. So many times what we see is people, they start publicizing their acts of worship. They start publicizing when they perform Hajj, or when they're in front of Baitullah Sharif, they will start posting their pictures on the social media. Those who do this with good intentions, no problem at all. But we all know what the state of our heart is. So when we are going to the sacred journey, what we need to understand is that we never know that what awaits us, what is in our fate, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written in our destiny. There's a very admonitory account before me regarding someone who set out on the journey of Hajj, and ultimately his end was not good. He died as a disbeliever. So we shall always remain fearful from the hidden plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this account has been narrated by Sayyidina Abu Muhammad rahimahullah. He mentions that there were three people, and what they did was that they set out on the journey of Hajj.
Okay.
And their reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so much that they didn't have any provisions.
Okay.
And they set out on this journey just having reliance, tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, as they were traveling, they stopped by a town. There was a town of non-believers. There was a town of non-Muslims. And all three people, they stopped over there to have some rest. And one of them, ma'adullah, fell in love with one of the women of the town, who was, of course, a non-believer again. Now, when he fell in love with her, he, ma'adullah, abandoned his intention of traveling further for Hajj. And what he did was he made an excuse to his other two companions and said that you guys carry on, I will stay here. So the other two companions, of course, had to leave anyways for Hajj. So they left. And this unfortunate individual who had such high level of reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now because of falling in love with that woman, he deprived himself from carrying on the journey of Hajj. Now what happens is that he goes to the father of the woman and he expresses his desire to him that I wish to marry your daughter. And that father, he says to him that you can't pay the dowry of my daughter. It's very difficult for you. And he goes on to say that what is the dowry of your daughter? I'll meet it, no problem. Because he was blindfolded in her love. And he said that you'll have to embrace the religion of my daughter. Meaning you have to become apostate, you have to leave Islam. And unfortunately, the unfortunate individual, he left Islam and he became a non-believer, embracing the religion of that woman. Thereafter, his marriage took place with that woman and he lived a life of disbelief with that woman. And he also had two children with her. Now, the other two companions of his who went on the journey of Hajj, during another journey, they passed by the same town again. Allah. And whilst they were passing by the same town, they came across the account of their unfortunate companion that he has passed away now. And they were already very saddened and grieved upon this fact because, of course, at once he was a Muslim, but now he passed away as a non-believer. And in this anxiety and in this state of grief, they were passing through the town. They came across the graveyard of the town and they saw a woman standing beside the grave with two children of hers. So they came to know that she was the same widow of that very unfortunate individual. So they went to her and inquired about him. And of course, she told them that he passed away and everything. Now those two people, they started to cry, shed tears. And the woman asked them that, why are you crying? And they said, they relayed her the accounts of his piety, the acts of worship that he used to perform. Now, listening to this, the woman, she started to cry. And she, along with her children, embraced Islam. So the woman embraced Islam, the children embraced Islam. But her husband, who left Islam for her, he died as a non-believer. This is such a great admonitory account for us, Rizwan bhai, where we need to ponder upon our state and we need to remain fearful of the hidden plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to remain in this state of fear all our lives, that we don't know what our end would be like. Do we have the same level of reliance as this very individual had? He left in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any provisions. That's the level of reliance he had upon Allah Almighty.
Yes, Wasim bhai, you're right. We need to be thoughtful and we need to have fear of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Sometimes we take for granted that we are Muslims, Muslim by birth, and we do not take heed, we do not have any fear that our iman can be lost. Yes, because of sins. Yes, because of curse of sins, one's iman can be at risk. And Allah forbid, if our iman is taken away and snatched from us, then dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, nothing will be left behind. We will be destroyed, totally destroyed. Not only this, forever, forever and forever we'll be destroyed. Look at Shaitan. Before, he was a teacher of angels. He used to teach the level of knowledge, that the level of ilm he had. Can you imagine? He was teacher of angels. And the level of taqwa he had, one cannot imagine how many sujood he had performed in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. How much taqwa he had for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And what had happened, I think everyone knows that he is known to be rejected from the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So when we talk about a hidden plan of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, we should remember the example of shaitan itself. There was a Bal'am bin Ba'ura. There was a person who was mustajabud da'wat, whose dua was accepted in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Whatever dua he would make, that was accepted. But he made one mistake, that he made a bad dua for a Nabi of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And then he got rejected. You know that the dog of Ashabi Kahf, he will go in Jannah in the face of Bal'am bin Ba'ura. And that Bal'am bin Ba'ura will go into hellfire. The dog who had nisbat and relationship with Ashabi Kahf, pious people of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, he will be blessed to go into Jannah in the face of Bal'am bin Ba'ura. And this Bal'am bin Ba'ura, who was a great saint of his time, mustajabud da'wat, his du'as were accepted, but he got rejected from the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. His iman was taken away. So where do we stand? What about us? We have got nothing to present in the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. We keep on sinning and sinning and sinning. That's fear in the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. We should always pray, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. We should pray, Allah, when we live on iman. When we die on iman. Ameen. My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, let's move forward. Accounts of Hajj pilgrims we are discussing. Maulana Abdul Haq Ilah Abadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was an Indian national and a great Islamic scholar. He lived in Makkah al-Mukarramah for more than 40 years and he performed Hajj every year eagerly and enthusiastically. Once on the occasion of Hajj, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi fell seriously ill and was bedridden. On the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah al-Haram, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said to his students that take me to the blessed Haram. Several men picked him up and sat him in front of blessed Ka'batullah Sharif. He asked for a blessed Zamzam water and drank it, made a dua. O Almighty Allah, may I not be deprived of Hajj. Instantly, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala bestowed upon him so much strength that he stood up and went to the plains of Arafat on foot and performed Hajj.
Subhanallah.
What a blessing, Wasim Bazbai.
Amazing. And also
40 years consecutively performing Hajj, and then he is ill, but still he wants to go. What would you say to those, they are healthy, they are wealthy, they've got money, abled body, everything, but yet they are deprived of going to Hajj?
Again, I mean, we realize how our pious predecessors, how they appreciated and how they realized how important the journey of Hajj is, how rewardful it is and what it means for our faith. Over here for 40 years, imagine living in Makkah al-Mukarramah, performing Hajj every year. But again, after 40 years, he's bedridden, but still his desires and yearning of performing Hajj just like a baby. That's how much passion and yearning he has to perform.
Because
Hajj.
They knew what are the blessings of Hajj.
Indeed. And nowadays, as you mentioned, we have all the financial means, we have the physical means, we have health today, no problem whatsoever. There's no problem in taking holidays off work or whatsoever, but yet we don't travel. Why is that? Why? The main reason is because, again, setting priorities right. We do take time off for other holidays to go here and there. But when it comes to perform Hajj, which is fard upon us once in our lifetime if we meet the requirements, but yet we are heedless. It's again all about setting our priorities right and understanding what Hajj actually means. So if you are capable today, you have financial means, you're healthy, do not delay this. Try to understand what you are missing on and don't miss this opportunity before it's too late. So in this context, alhamdulillah, there's another beautiful account before me, a short one, but gives us a very strong message that these pious predecessors, despite spending every moment of theirs in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, still what their mindset used to be. It is stated that when people performing Hajj started weeping and crying during dua in Arafat, Sayyiduna Bakr rahmatullahi ta'ala said, if only I were also amongst the weeping Hajj pilgrims and overcome with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyiduna Mutarrif rahmatullahi ta'ala also said out of humility, O Allah Almighty, do not reject these Hajj pilgrims due to my disobedience.
Look at the level of ids.
Indeed, the humility, they are the guides, the leaders of the pious ones. But look what they're saying, they do not reject the Hajj of these people due to my disobedience, whereas their every moment is being spent in pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we also come to know, Rizwan Bhai, that people in Arafat, they used to cry in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beseeching in the court of Allah Almighty. And the likes of Sayyidina Bakr rahmatullahi ta'ala, he's also supplicating to Allah Almighty that, Ya Allah, only if I was also amongst the weeping ones, whereas he himself would have so much fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nowadays, when we go for a Hajj pilgrimage and when we are blessed to go in Arafat, normally we see different kind of scenes. We don't have the same scenes to be observed nowadays.
Maybe more they are busy in taking pictures, making videos, right, posting to the social media.
Indeed.
They are busy in that rather than crying, weeping, asking for forgiveness.
Indeed. And some people, ma'azallah, is one way, their mindset is also such that, ma'azallah, thumma ma'azallah, when are we going to get done with this, ma'azallah? When this day is going to get over? I can't stay over here. You know, astaghfirullah. These kind of mentalities are also witnessed over there by people. Now, people, they used to weep in Arafat. They used to cry in Arafat. And awliya karam, what do they say? That, Ya Allah, do not reject the hajj of these people because of my disobedience. And when it comes to us, we are spending our days and nights in sins, but we consider ourselves to be the most righteous, most pious. We performed hajj and we think everything is fine. Yes, with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything would be fine, inshaAllah.
We should always remain fearful.
Indeed, and the level of humility and humbleness needs to be there. Only then we can reap the mercy and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the point of performing a hajj after which we still can't get rid of our arrogance? After which we still can't get rid of our habit of lying, after which we can't still get rid of hurting the feelings of other people, so on and so forth. After performing hajj, still remain fearful, be humble, repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we learn from the accounts of our pious predecessors, how they performed hajj and how they returned. And this is what we learn from their legacy, from their accounts, that how we should also become.
Let me include another waqia for the viewers of Madani Channel. On 9th of Dhul-Hijjah al-Haram, a grass-cutting man in India suddenly thought that it was the day of Arafat and the fortunate Hujjaj would gather in the plains of Arafat. As soon as he thought this, dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, he let out an extremely wistful sigh, saying, if only I had also been blessed with Hajj. When he said this, Sayyidina Shaykh Sayyid Ashraf Jahangir Samnani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh was present near him. Hearing this wistful sigh, he said to him, come here. The elderly man came near. Then, without uttering any word, Sayyidina Shaykh Sayyid Ashraf Jahangir Samnani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh gestured him to go. As soon as the gesture was made, the elderly man found himself in front of the holy Kaaba in Masjidul Haram in Makkatul Mukarrama. He performed the tawaf with great pleasure, arrived in Arafat and performed other rites of Hajj. When the days of Hajj ended, the elderly Haji thought now, how would he return back to his own home country? As the thought came in his mind, he saw that Sayyidina Shaykh Jahangir Samnani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was standing in front of him, saying, go. As soon as the elderly Haji lifted his head, he found himself in his home in India. Subhanallah. Look at the powers of awliya-i kiram. Mm-hmm. And look at the yearning for the person. When that yearning is accepted, when you want to go somewhere, and when your dua is heard, Allahu Akbar, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala makes means, right? Makes things possible. And look at a wali of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala made a gesture and he found himself there and he performed hajj. And definitely, I think in this day and age, Waseem Bhai, when technology is advanced and on social media, maybe right now we are delivering this program and tens of thousands of people would be watching us, right? Sitting at their own home. So technology has made us understand that if the intellect, what Allah has given to us, when human being, they used their intellect, now they have reached to the moon also, right? This technology has advanced. Now, what about the powers of awliya kiram? What about the powers of the friends of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? How much they would be? I think in this day and age, it is easier to understand. What would you say?
Indeed, no doubt, Rizwan bhai. When, of course, technology has advanced so much, when we can see so many things happening in a few hours that used to take months and months before, it's very easy for us to comprehend this concept of spirituality, as in, if this is what no ordinary people can do by the help of technology, then what can the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do through the help of Allah Almighty, through the element of spirituality? And another thing that we need to understand is that if we cannot comprehend spirituality, it doesn't mean that it does not exist. Why? Because this is lack of our own understanding. For example, today we're talking about cell phones, today we're talking about social media. If 200 years ago we brought the same concept to people who were living 200 years ago, that today, rather than writing letters and sending them through pigeons, if your message can be delivered from your hometown to another country within few seconds, they would be laughing at you. Why? Because their intellects at that time were not able to comprehend the technology of 200 years in future. So their level of intellect could not comprehend this concept back then, because things were not open to them. So if they rejected technology back then, saying that it is not possible, it doesn't mean that it is not possible, because they were not educated enough. And now, if today we are not educated in the field of spirituality, if we don't possess spirituality of our own selves, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist at all. Why? Because we have not treaded on the path of spirituality. For us to understand and comprehend this concept, we first of all need to kill our nafs and come on the path of spirituality. Then the doors of wisdom will open in front of us. Then we will understand and comprehend what spirituality actually means. So, awliya karam rahimahumullah, they actually strive very hard. They fight against their nafs and shaitan, against their carnal desires. Then the doors of spirituality and wisdom are opened upon them, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them with these powers. So if you want to understand spirituality, it doesn't mean that today I don't know anything about spirituality, so it doesn't exist at all. No, it doesn't mean this.
If you haven't been to any country in this world, you can't say that doesn't exist. Waseem bhai, as we are getting closer to the end, I would like to just request you to mention another account, any smaller account you'd like to...
Inshallah, Zawajal, there's a very beautiful account in which, again, we understand the essence and crux of everything that we around which our faith revolves. And this is through the account of none other than the leader of believers, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. At the time of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu as his representative to the disbelievers of Makkah, because they had stopped Muslims from performing tawaf of Kaaba. And Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu went as the representative of Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and to negotiate with them. That's where the non-believers, they said to Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu that we allow you to perform the tawaf of Kaaba. Now, if we stop this account over here just for a second and think about what honor and privilege Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu is being blessed with, and he's being given permission for that, to perform the tawaf of Ka'batullah Sharif, something that every Muslim, he dreams for. And this is the sole purpose of the life of a Muslim, to perform the tawaf of Kaaba. Now, Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu over here is being given permission to do this, but what does he say? He refuses, that he wouldn't perform tawaf without the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So, although it is the tawaf of Ka'batullah Sharif, although it is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although this is the sacred journey and the action, but our faith revolves around the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that if we came to know about tawaf, it was because of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. If we came to know about hajj, it was because of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The reward that tawaf has, it is because of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. The reward there is to perform tawaf in rain, it is because of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. If we have Islam today, it is because of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. If this Kaaba was purified from idols and became a sacred house for the Muslims of the entire world, It is because of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam.
No doubt.
We came to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose court, whose pleasure is our sole goal. To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our ultimate goal. All this, the knowledge regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we became aware of it just because of the Holy Prophet
sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Beautiful, mashallah, beautiful Madani pearls, beautiful account of love. Dear respected viewers, Sayyidina Ali bin Muwaffiq rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said, I was privileged to perform Hajj. After I performed the Tawaf of Kaaba, kissed Hajri Aswad and offered 2 rakat salah of Tawaf, I started weeping, crying, shedding tears in the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, sitting near the wall of the Kaaba. I then humbly said in the court of Allah, O Allah Azza wa Jal, I have moved around your holy Kaaba so many times, but I don't know whether it has been accepted or not. Thereafter, I drowsed and heard a voice from Ghaib, unseen voice was heard. O Ali bin Muwaffiq, we have heard you. Do you not invite to your home only those you love? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, no doubt at all. If we are invited to go towards Hajj journey, if we are invited in the house of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, subhanallah, subhanallah, it is a great blessing itself when we need to pay shukr of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So we should pray in the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, Ya Allah, please be pleased with us and call us again and again to perform tawaf, to perform Hajj, and then to visit Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam's Medina to pay salam to him. My dear Islamic brothers, that's all for today. We'll be back with another beautiful episode of this program. Until then, keep watching Madani Channel and keep reciting Salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This Eidul Adha, this Eidul Adha, this Eidul Adha, this Eidul Adha. May Allah's blessings bring happiness, peace and prosperity in your life. Eid Mubarak, Eid Mubarak, Eid Mubarak, Eid Mubarak.